It'll take some hard work, but you just don't let them bring stuff in the car. And then you know what? You don't have kid stuff taking over your car. So you know what my car looks like? It just looks like a vehicle. You wouldn't know I was a mom except for the booster seats in there.
Yes, I'm so jealous.
Look, I have lots of places where I am a hot mess, but the car is not one of them. And that is because we take very little into the car. And if you take it in the car, you better take it out or you better take multiple trips.
Being a mom is hard. Being a business owner and a mom is even harder. So we love to talk shop together, whether that's what we're planning to have for dinner in our homes or what we're planning for next quarter in our content calendars.
But most of all, we love to hear the stories of other moms who have built their businesses and brands. We've dreamed of becoming business besties with some of our favorite business owners online, and we're going to use this podcast to do exactly that.
Come for the stories behind how moms built their businesses, aka the business banter. Then stay for the laughter and candid conversations, aka the bestie banter.
This is the Bestie Business Banter Podcast.
Okay, welcome to this week's episode of Bestie Business Banter. I'm so excited because we are welcoming Kate Gaffney from Avery Woo! Co. on the podcast. Like hot mic.
So excited.
Can't hold back the excitement. Before we get into it, I will let Kate introduce herself and just kind of give like her 15-second elevator pitch in case you do not have the pleasure of following her on Instagram. We've been big fans for a while. So Kate, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us who you are.
Hey. I'm Kate Gaffney. I run Averyn Co. So I guess our little 15-second elevator pitch would be that we make women's lives easier by lightening the everyday physical and mental load with our handcrafted leather wristlets and wallets.
I feel like y'all have done such a good job of like making it relatable and almost like punny. Like your one sentence thing is like, yes, I want the mental load lightened, but also my physical load.
Thank you. I wrote that about 5 minutes
ago.
Oh
my gosh. So I
think no, you have used that kind of stuff in your branding before.
See, it's like little pieces for sure I've used, but I really don't actually have like a little elevator pitch, and I probably should. And I feel like when people ask me in my everyday life too, if they're like, oh, what do you do? I think I just need this like one sentence. So I got to just like lock it in and
commit to it.
So you make these cool leather wristlets that make my life easier because, right? Because I am carrying everybody's things in from the car all the time. And my five-year-old, I mean, probably when she was three, would repeat after me and say, I only have two hands, because they would be just giving me their things and I can't hold one more thing. So the keys have been holding the keys on my wrist have been a game changer. And it's cute and beautiful. So we're fans.
Big fans. Well, and the wallet. I mean, it's not just the keys. It's the wallet with your – because all you really need is like your chapstick, a little bit of cash, your driver's license, your credit card. You're good to go. Like it's just – it's so nice, especially when you're in your diaper bag era of your life where you always have this giant diaper bag. You can't have a purse too. So it's like you got the diaper bag, but then you just have your little wristlet. It's just such a good product.
Thank you.
I know. And that's why we wanted you on the show. We feel like you have narrowed in on what you do really well, and you just keep doing that. I don't know. That feels so simple. And as a business owner, I mean, me especially, I'm so tempted to chase every idea, and I'm sure people throw ideas at you, and you and your husband have lots of ideas, but to keep it like just moving in the same direction, like you've done that really well. You have really loyal followers. Like, you're always sharing on Instagram stories, just people tagging you. People love to be like, look, I'm using this wristlet, and they want to tell their friends about it. Yes. Like you've created a product that people can't help but tell all their friends about. And I think that's really
cool. I feel like it's almost like it gives me like Shark Tank energy, where someone comes into Shark Tank and they have this product and you're like, okay, it's so simple. How has no one else come up with it? But then they're like, share how many lives have been changed because of their product. And you're like, wow, I feel like that's what you all have done. Like you really did solve such a common problem with something simple, but so beautiful and so high quality. And I think two things I really love about your business. One is, like Lauren said, like you've just like, again, well, we have a question about this later that you mentioned too, but it's almost like just keeping it simple. And like, this is what you do, and you do it so well. And then the other thing I really love is I think you do a really good job on Averyn Co. of balancing sharing the business content and then like little peeks into your life. Cause I think that's what's really hard as like a female business owner is how much of this is just about the product? How much of it am I letting them into my life? Do I have a whole separate account for my life? Like it's tricky, but I think you do a really good job navigating that.
Thanks. I feel like I'm always like reevaluating and questioning and like thinking through, does this make sense? Does it not? Is this too much? Is it too little? It is hard to balance. So I appreciate that kind feedback.
You're doing a good job. Thank you. To me, I think you're doing a good job. Lauren, you got anything else you want to say?
Just on the like behind the scenes stuff, do you get a lot of people want to see the behind the scenes? I feel like whenever you post something, people want more of that. Is that why you have shared that, or you've wanted to just like keep that balance and be like, this is a real thing. I want to take you behind the scenes.
I like in terms of our like actual life, like outside of the business, Lauren.
Even behind the business scenes. Like I feel like you do such a good job of just showing people like what you're going through right now in the business.
Yeah, I think it just helps us be like we are. I am a human and this is my business. And I think it just helps it like help people see that there is a human behind the screen, like there is a human behind the website and a group of humans that are like making your product and sending it to you and responding to you in customer service. And I don't know, I think definitely people relate to it. I think whether it's business or life, people really respond to just kind of the real life moments, whether they're like highs or lows. And people are really good about cheering us on. Like when we have hard weeks and we share like little peeks into that, I don't know. We have like really kind and wonderful community that continues to cheer us on. And like, we're here for you. And then they're really here for us too. So I don't know. It's just like sweet all around. People like it. And we like kind of the interaction that it creates.
Okay, we're going to get into the bestie banter now because I feel like after introductions, we're already best friends. You know, the listeners already probably, they're dying to hear more about you as a person and a business owner. So let's get into it. The first one we picked out for this week was blood boilers, like something that just is really annoying you right now. You know, I was thinking blood boilers is so extreme. So maybe it's just even just something that's like annoys you.
We just like alliteration. So that's really why it's called blood boilers.
Do you want to start, Rebecca?
Sure. One that really, really just grinds my gears is when my husband is hovering in the kitchen while I'm making dinner. And I think it's because I'm in a season of life where there's always just like tiny humans at my ankles. So it already makes making dinner hard enough. But there's something about Thomas just like casually sauntering in the kitchen and just giving the pot one stir. I don't know why. Like, it's not rational that this boils my blood. So I'm like hoping when I post about this on Momfluencer, people can relate. And I'm not just crazy. But there's just something so like, do you have to come in here and take up space? And like, it almost just feels like he's keeping an eye on what I'm doing. And I'm like, no, why don't you take all these tiny humans and exit the scene and I will holler when it's ready.
Or he's taunting you. Like, let me help stir this.
I'm with you because for me, I have created space in that dinner time prep for myself.
Right.
So yes. That is the time of day where my kids can watch a show. You can watch a show until I say dinner is ready. That might be 20 minutes. That might be an hour. I don't care. Go watch TV and don't talk to me. I love you very much. You get to have you time. I get to have me time. I put in a podcast. Yes. You know, uh-huh. Sean's upstairs working. He works from home. And I just, I get to live my best. You know, I'm just listening to a podcast, making my dinner. Mm. So I get it. Like when Sean comes down, it's like, hey, I love you. And I want to hear about your day. And I'm so glad that you're right here. Now. But also like, give me like a few more minutes for me to just kind of like be by myself and nobody talk to me.
Seriously. Especially if you're trying to follow like a new recipe. Like I love a half-baked harvest recipe. But they are more complicated. Like there's a lot of steps. And so I'll be like reading something and then looking back at this and then tripping over my one-year-old. And then Thomas is in here like shaking a little salt into the pot. And I'm like, get out. Like if you want to do this, that's fine. You need to completely take over or you need to get out. But he knows it now. So now it's kind of funny. Like he'll do it subconsciously and then be like, oh. Like he like, and he like creeps out of the kitchen.
Ours is like the alleyway almost, like where I'm going to be working is like Curtis is usually either standing in front of the trash can that I need to get into, standing in front of the oven, standing in front of the silverware drawer, or like blocking the fridge. And I'm like, I need all of these.
Right,
things.
The triangle. Like when you design a kitchen, there's supposed to be a triangle of like fridge, sink, oven. But like, it's like, don't get in the triangle. This is a...
He's in all of the places. I'm like, why are you here? And then it is a joke now because he's like, how can I help? I'm like, leave.
Stop taking up space in the triangle. That's what you need to do.
Okay, my blood boiler is, I am going to apologize in advance, Kate, if this is you. I don't think it's Rebecca. This is a very niche thing that like kind of annoys me. When people are telling a story and they're like, when they're telling a story about their family, their mom in particular, or their dad, and they call them mom and dad. And I'm like, that's not my mom. So like if it's my sister telling a story and she's like, mom said, blah, blah, blah. But if it's my friend and they're like, mom said, I'm like, her name is not a proper noun to me. It is. It's just mom. So again, this might be very niche and only something that I notice, but I know the friends of mine who do this.
I was going to say, you told me this has bothered you for a decade, and I don't know if once I've ever noticed anyone doing it. So I don't know if like the people in my world aren't doing it or if it just doesn't bother me, but you are also way better at grammar than I am.
Well, we don't share the same mom. Like, call her, say my mom, or call her by her name. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't imagine a scenario in which I don't put the my in front of it. So I feel like maybe you just need to have a little chat with this specific friend or two.
I know. You need to point it out.
Just let them know.
Y'all, it is common. Now that I've pointed it out to you, you're going to notice. And there's going to be someone who listens to this. Yes. There's going to be someone who listens to this that's like, oh, yeah, I do.
Okay,
that.
Well, you also need to just send this episode to friends casually. Just slide it in their DMs so that they can hear.
I might have told them that, but they don't care. They're like, that's how I talk about mom.
Now I'm going to notice it when you say it.
You will.
All right, Kate, what do you have for us? What's boiling your blood? That was hard. That is a tongue twister.
It is a tongue twister. All right. I brought two to the table here. One business, one just personal. First, I'm going to start with the personal because I cannot handle it when these parents send for like Halloween, Valentine's Day, Easter. They're sending in these bags of candy. Like, bring a sucker. One sucker. Or you know what? A roll of stickers. I do not care. Really, I would rather nothing.
Would be better.
I would rather nothing, but I realize like you got to bring something to the table. Your kid probably cares, but we don't need it to be a whole bag. Why do I send it? I send in 12 suckers for the 12 kids in the class, and I come back with like 70 pieces of candy. What's happening?
We literally just finished like Halloween, Christmas, Valentine's candy, and Easter.
We never finish,
and I'm like dreading egg hunts. Like I'm just like
hate them. I hate them. We didn't go to our neighborhood one because I'm like, I'm just not going to tell the kids. I'm just not telling them. I don't need any more candy in my house.
It's so true.
I had to stuff some Easter eggs for preschool because they were doing an Easter egg hunt. Mm-hmm. And the ones I had around my house were like small Easter eggs anyway, which I was thankful for. I put one Hershey Kiss in each one.
Yes.
I was like, first I thought, is this like, you know, too cheap? You like think of that for yourself. And then I was like, no, it fits perfectly in there. And she's going to come home with so much.
Think of the other parents. We're sending in 12 eggs for Easter egg hunt. I'm going to put 12 pieces of candy.
Right.
You know, one each.
That means,
like, you know what we're going to come back with? Yep. Everyone's coming home with 12 pieces of candy. JK, not 12, because some of those people are going to stuff those eggs with multiple pieces of candy. And I'm going to have 50
choking
pieces
hazard.
Of candy.
Or they're just going to make a goodie bag.
I don't even care about the choking
hazard.
Totally
with a goodie bag.
I just don't want to manage it. No. I don't I just don't want it to be a thing. Anyway, it bothers me.
I feel the same. More.
Stop sending the bags of candy.
Please.
At max, one piece, please, per child. Thank you. I'm sure no one will come and listen to this TED Talk about candy, but that's okay.
No, I think this is a unifying theme for moms.
Please.
You don't want more stuff in your house. You don't need more candy. You don't need to say no to more. Like when it comes in my house, I'm just like the no monster. I'm like, you've had too many treats today. We're done.
Mm-hmm. But Lauren, why? Why, if it is a I feel like it's a unifying thing, but why do people keep doing it? Then who is sending the bags?
I don't know.
We'll find them.
Business related, my blood boiler is when, like, I don't care if people are discussing revenue in general, but when someone is like trying to sell something based on the revenue that they have made, when it's like, I made $1 million after 2 years of business,
But they don't say 2 years of business. They just go real general.
Well, they either go general or like that's their revenue, but they didn't tell you that they spent $1.2 million to get there.
100%.
You're still in the red. No, ma'am. Well, so
I agree. And I don't like when people are like, I'm a seven figure business owner. I'm like, okay, well, like over 7 years is, or 1 year, like what are you qualifying to like there? I don't know. I agree. Just like these really flashy numbers, but there's no context whatsoever. And then it can be like so discouraging for someone to see. Oh, could not agree more. Especially, I think Lauren and I see it a lot. I don't know if you do, but like there's a lot of people now in the edupreneur space that are now like coaching mm-hmm. edupreneurs and they're showing these numbers and things. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But like you said, like what did it take to get there? Or
how many people are you paying on your team? Like there's so many expenses. So many things.
Yeah. How much are you paying to make that million? Exactly. That's what I really want to know.
Right.
Couldn't agree more.
Anyway.
I feel the same way. When I saw that blood boiler, I was like, I have thought that so many times when people are putting out their stats. And it's usually, I see it, like you said, Rebecca, in like coaching a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't trust that. I don't know. I would like to know more about that. And they don't really like open it up for conversation. That's not what they want to talk about. They want to just use that one line to advertise themselves.
Yeah, I don't like that either. Okay, so we always like to follow up a blood boiler with 30-second therapy just to, you know, calm ourselves. So Kate, why don't you hit us with some 30-second therapy?
I think some of this comes back to some conversations I've had with my friend Kate at Naptime Kitchen of just like she is really helpful in reminding me of just like when I'm kind of like spinning out or feeling like there's always something to do of just like when is enough or like what is going to be enough? And not always even just like financially, but just like there is always one more thing to do when you own a business. Like the work, you can let it be so that the work never ends. And so just kind of like backing off of the productivity wheel. Mm-hmm. Like I'm an 3, so that also like speaks to me of just like I can always achieve more. Mm-hmm. Why? I could also just like achieve like a little less and like have better balance or just whatever it is. And so just kind of like cycling through that thought when I feel like I'm like spinning myself up about like all that there is to do, or even like if it's something that's like, well, I could have achieved more, but like, okay, well, what I did achieve was enough and it's fine. And that's what I did. And just like having a lot more contentment with that.
And like at what expense to get there.
And I don't think that's like an original thought to her. Like, I think she like mentioned that she like read it and so, you know, in some book relating to some, I don't know, but I don't know. It just like sticks in my mind. That one has stuck in my mind more so than like a lot of other business advice. So
like when I really enjoy work, so it's like, it doesn't feel like work. It feels like something fun. And so you always want to go, go, go. But something that Rebecca really pushed me on was like, after we read The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, such a good book, just slowing down, and especially on Sundays, like it's a rhythm for me. It is a forced, I have to make it a habit. I'm not working on Sunday. I'm not looking at email. I am reading a book during rest time. Like I am actually resting, and it changes the trajectory of my week. It has really changed my last year.
I think it's hard too. I don't know. I mean, we'll get into this when we get into the business questions, but I know at least for Lauren and I, we're almost like accidental entrepreneurs. It's not like we went to college. And I think you could say the same, Kate, of like, we're going to start this company and do this and da da. And so it's easy to get caught up in, like you said, just doing more, more, more and being like, wait, like Thomas, my husband, always reminds me, like, we've already accomplished way more than we ever thought with It's Not Rocket Science. And like, even if you never did another thing, it would have been enough how it was. And I think that is really challenging for me. And I always had in my head, like, okay, I'm just going to like maintain this business until all my kids are in grade school. And then I'm just going to like pedal to the metal. And it wasn't until this last year that I really realized I never want to work more than 15 hours a week because I want this to always stay smaller. And like you said, I've been in masterminds before with other, you know, people in our education space, and it's so inspiring. But you know, some of them are leading teams of 15 or 20, and that's just not me. Like Lauren knows. Lauren, I hate even saying you work for me because that just seems like you're just like my friend. I don't know. I hate that. But like, I'm not a good leader. I don't like leading. You know, I'm not reading, you know, books about leadership and management because I don't want a big team like that. I want to serve like the couple of moms that work for me part time. I want to keep this like so manageable. My dad too, he's always like, you got to start marketing to school districts. And I'm like, I just don't want to be, I want to serve the teachers. I don't want to get in the weeds with that. And like you said, just really being okay with like, it's okay to be content with where you're at.
Yeah. Like, and just, yeah, it's okay to not take advantage of every opportunity. Yes. Like, of course you could always do more. You could for sure, you know, take it to the moon, but at what cost and why, you know? Why?
It's so true. All right, Lauren, what's saving your life right now?
Okay. I think this is a Naptime Kitchen hack, but the car basket, like I have a basket that sits in the front seat of my car that anytime we just have something, whether it's a toy or a book or my Lululemon belt bag, I like throw it in there and then take it all into my house all at once. And it keeps my car organized. It keeps me accountable to like taking the junk out of my car. And then the next time I go back and get in, I bring the empty basket back into my car. Of course, I also have like the trash can too, but to keep the stuff out. I grab the mail out of the mailbox on my drive out, throw it in the basket, and it comes in the car with me.
So I think Kelly the car mom might have started that. And I think she like goes and takes it and like dumps it on the island. Like she takes it from the car, dumps on the island so that it has to be dealt with. Like it can't just continue to live in there. Do you do that?
I try not to have like too much stuff that like I'm like dumping, but I know like – okay, this is going to the girls' rooms. This is going to my room. Yeah, I have a spot, like a landing spot on my counter that anyone can expect. That's where the stuff is that needs to go somewhere. So we do have like, in my mind at least, that's the spot where I put it when it needs to go somewhere.
I love that.
Love it.
I need to get on the car basket. My problem is like everyone brings 18 friends, which are their stuffed animals in the car just to go to preschool drop off. And then, you know, then they can't carry them all back in. We got like this menagerie of stuffed animals in the back seat. So I need a car basket just for the friends.
I'm gonna just lay this, like my kids are maybe 1 year older than yours, but I think from like day one, and it'll take some hard work, but you just don't let them bring stuff in the car. And then you know what? You don't have kid stuff taking over your car. So you know what my car looks like? It just looks like a vehicle. You wouldn't know I was a mom except for the booster seats in there.
Yes, I'm so jealous.
Look, I have lots of places where I am a hot mess, but the car is not one of them. And that is because we take very little into the car. And if you take it in the car, you better take it out or you better take multiple trips. Now, my kids are older, and so I can just be like, I'm in the house. You're going in and out. If you have to take multiple trips, that's on you. You can open the car door yourself. It's fine. So, but maybe that's like your beacon in the future of like your kids are a little bit older. You know what? They're going to take their own stuff inside.
Yeah. You know, one thing I'm not carrying when I'm going back and inside, in and out,
your keys,
my keys.
Or your purse
because they're on my wrist.
Exactly.
I mean, all truth to be said, like the reason I created what I created was because I was unable to carry my keys in my hands at the time. Like Ava was one; she would not put her legs on my hip. Like she was a limp noodle. And my oldest, I had never had that problem. Like she would just sit on my hip. That's fine. But I'm at the preschool we were at, we had to like cross the street to the parking lot. She's a limp noodle. For some reason, they weren't allowed to bring a backpack. And so I'm carrying like 50 papers, a precious art project,
Easter eggs, Halloween candy.
Three-year-old hand in my hand across the street holding my limp noodle other kid. My keys were like in my hand. So I'm like stabbing her armpit, trying to like hold her and keep my keys nearby so I can unlock the car when I get across the street. And so
it's a visual we can all relate to.
That's the origin story of how.
So what were you doing at that time? Were you a stay-at-home mom? Were you working something else? Like I would love just to hear, like you obviously knew the problem, but how did you transition to like this solution?
Yeah. So at that point, I had been staying at home, I think 1 or 2 years. Before that, I did like R&D for a tire company in town. So went to school for like material science, you know, never stepped foot in the business school, never, ever anticipated starting a business. So it more was just like, I am tired of my own problem. I see this solution. And I wasn't even like really like looking for it, but it just kind of Like I was just surviving. Like, you know, I feel like when you're in the throes of, you know, whatever it is, like whether it's just like the throes of like working a job and like just living life is hard. And then also having young kids is hard. And just, you don't take the time to like figure out a solution. But I think over lunch one day just kind of came to me, like talking about it with my husband, just decided, you know what, why don't I just like try and make some, put them on Etsy and add them up a week later. And
how did you get them up a week later? Like, what did you make? How did you get the materials?
Right.
I guess like the people that I order from, like I, like after that lunch, I went home, like ordered leather, ordered grommets, like ordered, I like knew Michaels? What I wanted the product
like how,
to look
that's
like.
What I'm like, how, I'm like, this is so foreign to my brain. I'm like, how did you just like whip this thing out?
I ordered the leather on Etsy, okay. Like from just, you know, you can get a lot of, like there's things that people make, but they, you know, on Etsy, you can also sell like supplies right. for makers. So I bought leather on Etsy. I bought my grommets at like a, you know, a well-known like leather company that has like hardware as well. And yeah, just kind of like did it. Took some pictures, threw them on Etsy and did it.
It's awesome.
I mean, that is the nice thing about Etsy is like it's pretty, it's like a store in a box, you know? It's like the website is already there. You don't have to create the website from scratch. And so you just kind of have to like upload some pictures, put a description, and you have a store, you know?
Right. So, and almost like low stakes. You're like, if someone buys it, cool. And yes. I get to celebrate. But like, it could just like be this little online store and I'm just going to like see how it goes.
Yeah. Like if I just like end up throwing this away, then like, you know what? I lost like what? $100. So it's very like low stakes for sure. Cause you're not, with Etsy, you're not paying anything until you sell it. So.
From the beginning, was your husband like, okay, this is a cool idea? Or was he like, okay, I'll like believe it when I see it, or I don't even know what you're talking about, and then you had to create it for him to understand? What was his take on your idea?
I think he's been in it like since day one, just kind of like a cheerleader for me and the company, and just, yeah, like just was like, you know, I think that could be a good idea. Like, let's do it. And just has been alongside the whole way.
Okay, so what did those kind of early days look like? When you were, you know, making them from your house, when were you working? How, like, I would love to know kind of like the pace of like, how quickly did it kind of grow? And, you know, how you, when did you make the decision to kind of transition out of your house? I'm like just so fascinated by your business story.
Yeah. I mean, I think like for your first part of your question, like early days, like, I mean, it was, we were at the house. I was making things in my garage and at my dining room table. I mean, we probably didn't sit at our dining room table for at least a year.
How many were you making a day?
I mean, at the beginning, not very many. Mm-hmm. Like we started in February 2020 and then really kind of took off like around Mother's Day. Like thanks to-
I didn't realize you were that young.
I cannot believe your
business
is only 3 years old. I can't either.
I think I must have gotten it Mother's Day that year. I'm like, wow. Have I been around since the beginning? I didn't think I had been, but I might have been.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, we really took off. Like, we had a very kind shout out from Kate at Naptime Kitchen. At that time, I didn't know her. I just kind of reached out and was like, hey, if this is something you'd be interested in, I would love for you to check it out. And so that really kind of helped put us on the map and just kind of like, at that point, then I was making a lot. But I mean, it was still very manual in the early days of like, I mean, and it's like lots of little details probably most people wouldn't notice of like the wristlet strap, like the four corners of the rectangle, like they're rounded in the early days. I was like hand rounding those with like scissors.
Mm. Wow.
Just because I didn't like the way that the like hard edge looked when it was cut. So now we have like, it's still a pretty manual process. Like we have dies now that like kind of like basically cookie cutters that can cut them out of the leather with like a pretty manual press. But in those early days, it was super manual and it took over our whole house. I mean, there was leather everywhere, everywhere. So I don't know. And then like figuring out what it, that was during like right when COVID hit. So
you were at home anyway. You were like, let's just make wristlets
anyway.
In our house.
We were at home anyway. And like, I didn't anticipate that. Like February was still like, we didn't really know what was going to happen. And then, you know, right. By then, like every, you know, but my kids are home with me. Like there's no school and like, we can't go anywhere. And but in those early days, I also wasn't working, you know, a ton of hours. Mm-hmm. So it was just kind of like here and there, like little bits of maintenance on the website or whatever, but just kind of like making things as they came in and shipping them as they came in. But
how quickly did you transition from Etsy to Avery & Co., like your website, like on your own?
We did that about 6 months in. Okay. So maybe a little bit less. Like we started talking about it like the summer, just seeing that we were driving our own traffic. And so like Etsy is great in terms of like, you can just set it up and go like right away. And a lot of people benefit from the marketplace aspect of like people go on there and they look up like pacifier holder and then like people are being discovered that way a lot. And that wasn't really the case for us. Like we were driving a lot of our own traffic from Instagram. And so having our own site just made a lot of sense to be able to just like have a lot more control over like our branding and like what things looked like and how the site functioned and people saying, I got this at Avery & Co., not I got this on Etsy.
100%. It's different. Yeah.
Yeah.
So is your Etsy store shut down now? Or do you just like kind of leave it up there passively?
I had it up until like the end of last year, but it just didn't make sense. It was just causing more complication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Than it was worth for me. Like I think just like having to do like extra sales tax stuff and extra stuff in QuickBooks, like it just makes more sense to streamline it now.
Yeah, I would definitely see that. When did you know that it was time to move out of your house and into, to call it your studio? I don't know what you call it.
Yeah, I call it a studio. What did we do? I think after about a year, I knew I needed help. And like at the beginning, it's kind of weird to like have people come to your house, like if you don't know them and be like, hey, do you want to work in my not air conditioned or heated garage and like come ship stuff from my dining room table while my kids are running around.
Right.
That worked for like a little bit because the first person I hired was a friend. So it kind of, she jived with our family rhythms and like it just worked. But I knew that like that wasn't a long-term solution and just like I can't have my whole house taken over by my business. So started thinking about spaces and then like found one pretty quickly that would like was just a good fit for where we were and like a good price point for what we could afford. Cause you know, to go from like paying no rent in terms of, like, I mean, I'm paying rent by it's taking up my whole house, but I'm not paying money to then That's like a renting out a space. It's a big jump. And so the like summer 2021, it's like a little over a year, we moved into our current studio space.
Was that scary? Was that one of the first big like investments you made in your business? I mean, I guess you were buying materials for your actual product, and I'd love to hear more about that. But other than that, was this like a first investment that kind of felt like, okay, this is a big change for us?
It was, but I think by that point, like we, like Christmas 2020 was real big for us, like there was money in the bank where I felt like we could pay our whole year term and like it would be fine. So like it didn't feel scary in terms of like not being able to fulfill that lease or to step in it out in that way. And I feel like, you know, our space is very small. It is like 300 square feet. So the rent was low enough where it wasn't this like huge burden. So it's been a good sweet spot of like it's gotten us out of the house, but not at this like overwhelming cost or like, you know, a lot of commercial leases are 3 to 5 years. And so the space we're in now allowed us to do just a year, which was really helpful too. So it just was a shorter, it just felt like a easier commitment to make.
Was that move like the moment where you really felt like this is a legit business, or when do you feel like that mental change happened for you?
I think probably, yeah, like all around that time, because around the same time, like I was bringing people on to help me. I actually started paying myself because the first year I didn't really pay myself. Like I just kept reinvesting money back into the business. And so, yeah, like all kind of culminated into like, okay, this is a real business. I'm going to like have this lease. This means like I'm going to keep doing this. I'm like committing more time and energy to it. I'm bringing people on. I'm making enough money where I feel you know, like we, I can actually pay myself now. And so, yeah, kind of like all of that together. And that I felt like I could see that like we had a super high growth potential in terms of where could we go. So
I would love to know, yeah, what's your team looking like now? Like, are you, is everyone a contractor? Do you have actual like employees that you pay a salary? And kind of what are your roles now, 3 years into the business?
Yeah. We have two employees. They're W-2 employees for us, like not contractors. There's like pretty strict definitions of, right, what can be a contractor, mm-hmm, and what can't. So it didn't work. Like for us, it makes sense for them to be like W-2, right, employees. So we have one full-time employee, and that was like a huge – that's probably like our big – our like not really scary, but like the biggest like committed – kind of scary step to like hiring a full-time employee and like paying like a good wage that I felt like confident about. And she's like, you know, a grown woman and like had a job at like a different company, and I hired her away from that, you know? So it's like, it's not this just like, hey, do you want to work for like $10 right, an hour at my
yeah, totally,
garage studio? So that was big. And she's still with us. I love her dearly. And then I have
and
also.
And we watch The Bachelor every Monday night together. Yes, and yes. I was like, do you think Kate would want to be on the podcast? So.
Love it. I love our connection. Yeah. So her name's Brittany. She's amazing. And then I have another employee, Risa, who's like about half time. And so she's just hourly. And so she just kind of puts her hours in and then we pay from there. We did have some help like over the holidays. Like we had some extra hourly help. For that.
Was that the first time you ever did that? Was like the seasonal kind of help?
Yeah, this year, this past Christmas was the first time we've done that. And so that was great. I mean, we probably, if I had known what 2021 holiday season was going to look like, I for sure would have hired seasonal help for that. But I just didn't. I didn't know it was going to be what it was. And so,
well, and I love how you marketed, yeah, but, it. Like you were saying, you know, we have this like all female team. We want like women to come work with us part time. And like, I mean, I do feel like it's such a good idea, like someone to come in and be like, you're just going to work for a month. You'll like make your Christmas money, you know, basically to then, yeah, you know, celebrate Christmas with your family and it be stress free. And I just thought that was like a really cool move. And I could think, I mean, I'm 5 hours from you guys. But I was like, I know so many people, my friends here that would have like loved that. Like they don't want to work part-time all the time, but just for like a month or two just to like, you know, see this through. And I just thought it was a really cool idea.
I was honestly surprised by the response. Like I wasn't sure if it would be like crickets, you know, because it's like a pretty like, you know, we want like a few hours a week for like 5 or 6 weeks. Like it feels, I could see how that could like not be that enticing to some people, but we had like a like much stronger response than I anticipated. So I had to like go through and like, so I, you know, I thought it'd be like three people be like, yeah, I could do that. And then it'd be like, cool, come on in. But I had to like actually like go through them all and like talk to people. And
but truly like for someone who's a stay-at-home mom that just wants to make some extra cash for the holidays, whose husband can kind of like, you know, watch the kids for a couple hours a day for a 6 week span. Like we can make this work for 6 weeks, you know, to, I think it's a great idea. And I love that you tried something. I have a hard time trying things, not knowing what the result would be. And so I love that you're like, we're just going to try.
It felt low stakes. Like if it didn't work out, like, or like for either person, it's, you know, we can part ways and be happy about it. And that's fine. You know, we had, maybe it was only even just like one or two moms, but we had some just like single women that one of them just like their job doesn't work Fridays. And so she came in like all day Friday. And like one woman came in like after her other job, like she would come in the evenings, just like a couple hours, just like kind of helped like keep things going. Like, helped us get like another table worth of orders get shipped out, or just like make 300 more boxes. Like that's, I think, awesome. Last year, like in 2021, like the amount of time that we, like Brittany and Risa and I were spending even just like constructing boxes to ship things, it was like I just spent 2 hours making boxes and like really I needed to spend that time doing something else. And so 2022 looked a little different.
Okay. You've been saying we, that's like you and your husband are kind of now the brains together behind this. What did he do before? When did he come on to working with you? Does he do something else too? Or is he all in, this is what both of you are doing all the time?
I know. I say we, really it's me, but I think there, I don't know if there's like this like complex of like, I don't want to be like, I did. Because there also is like, I mean, it is my company. I am the owner, you know, I do all the things, my husband doesn't technically work for Avery & Co.
Okay, I didn't know that. I thought that he did.
He has a full-time job with Etsy. He works for them. And
did he do that? Did he work for them before you had an Etsy shop?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, funny.
Yeah, but he manages a team of developers. Okay. So it's not like he's like in the, you know, he doesn't have an Etsy shop. I mean, I do. It is funny because people will be like, oh, what do you do? And he'll be like, I work for Etsy. And I think people have to like kind of recalibrate their minds of like, no, he doesn't like have an Etsy store. Right. He like works on the business side. But yeah, he worked there then and still now. But just so kind of like helps me in the in-between, which can be tricky sometimes to just like make all the time work, because that does end up sometimes meaning that like I end up working at night if it's something that I need like his help on or that I like want to work on together, or like when we take product photos or lifestyle photos, like he helps with all of that, but that means that we're doing that either like at night when the kids are in bed or like on the weekends when we have childcare.
Did he do your website from the beginning? Like, I feel like starting websites so hard. Has he kind of always been the website person, or do you have someone else does that too?
No, he is the web person. So there is that. I definitely have that built-in advantage with a handy husband on the technical side. So very thankful for that.
So he's like web design, photography. It kind of sounds like techie stuff. Anything else that is like kind of his responsibility? Or that you lean on him for?
Emotional
support. Yeah, right. I mean,
yeah, that's very valid.
That's all Thomas does for me is emotional support.
When I'm in the pit of despair and he pulls me back out and says, you can keep doing this. Yeah, mainly photography and website. I'm trying to think. There probably is like other. I think he has helped a lot with the branding and packaging as well. He just like has more of a design and aesthetic mind than I do. I'm like, I definitely am like the executor. Like I can get things done. Like we joke about like how we make a really good team, because if it was just him, like this company would still be an idea. Mm-hmm. And if it was just me, like it would not be nearly as successful, because it would just like, I would be like getting it done, but like not beautifully or not like as, it just wouldn't be as like smooth. I don't know. He just brings some of that like polish to the table in terms of the branding, I guess, and like the website, all that kind of ties together. But so yeah, in his spare time, he helps me with that.
Does he, or do y'all have a goal of him ever coming to work for Avery & Co? Or do you think he likes having his own thing and doing his own thing?
That's a great question. I think there's definitely some like interest in that, like kind of being a future that we could maybe see. It's also pretty scary though, because that Rebecca, I know you know, maybe Lauren, no, well, anyway, like life or not life insurance, like health insurance and all of that stuff starts to come into play. We're not really probably at a point where I feel like we could like definitely afford to like bring him on full time and like maintain what we're doing in our lives currently.
And not that has to be.
And maybe we don't have to do that. Right. Yeah. No, I mean, I do think it is an interesting idea. We do enjoy working together. It would be nice to not have to do it on nights and weekends. Mm-hmm. And so maybe one day, but gotta sell some more wristlets and watches first. Yeah.
This episode is sponsored by Avery & Co.
Yeah. Yeah. By bringing on Sean. Yeah.
No, I'm always interested in people's answers to that question, because a lot of people in our corner of the internet, that's kind of their goal for their business. And that's never been mine and Thomas's goal. And like you said, there's no wrong answer. So I'm just always curious, like, are people working towards that? Are they not? Because like you said, yeah, sometimes things would be simpler, but also maybe it's not the best for your partnership or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I think just kind of holding it with an open hand right now. Like he likes his job and he enjoys it, and like the balance works really well. I mean, thankfully, he has a lot of flexibility in his work schedule and his like what his day looks like. And so right now, it's working for us to do both, but we'll see what the future holds.
Okay. I want to know, because you're a product-based business, I feel like you're someone who uniquely came to my mind as like product-based versus a lot of other people that I follow. And what we do is all digital resources, either digital downloadable resources or
service industry.
Teaching and people service industry, like things that people are paying
colorful.
For online. Yeah. Yeah. Stuff like that. And so I bet the challenges that you run into and like the planning behind it. It's just so different than anything that we deal with. So tell us about that, about just like product-based businesses, where you're learning from, like how do you know how to do any of that? And just like tell us some of the challenges that you run into with that.
I mean, it is hard. I mean, I think you could say that about any business. All business is hard, but it definitely adds like a different dynamic. Like when I'm talking to a product or like a digital or like service-based business, there is just this like whole other component that is like this like monster of effort that it just takes, like you said, like just to plan and like even just to like store it all. And I think like we've learned, I'm like always learning. I mean, even just sourcing the different products is difficult. I mean, we're pretty locked into things now, but even like when we're considering like adding like an add-on or like considering if we want to like make a change to something or bringing on a different type of leather, there's just a lot to consider even just in like, do we want to use this, yes or no? And then it's like, well, can we even like get enough of this, yes or no? And then like, how do we get it? How long does it take? Like some of the things we order, it takes like 9 months to get it. And then, you know, trying to know what your demand is going to be 9 months ahead of time is hard.
So
it's impossible. You know, we've only been a business for 3 years. And so, you know, sometimes we've definitely bought like less than we could have sold. There's also definitely things that we have way overbought. And so, and then the nice thing for us is that it doesn't go bad. So, you know, did I think that we would be sold out of Cornflower Blue by now? Yes, I did.
I love Cornflower Blue.
I mean, I think it's great, but it's definitely, it's one of those things where like, I thought it would sell faster than it has, or like, you know, whatever color it is.
Well, if you guys want to match me, you should get Cornflower Blue because I think it's beautiful and I love it. It's like my favorite color.
I mean, it is. And I don't know, but it's just like tricky to navigate of like,
how can you know?
Yeah.
Have you done, I think you have. Have you done pre-orders before?
And sometimes then yes, but it stresses me out because
I don't like to take money either before something's done.
I don't want to take your money before, because here's the thing. Here's the other thing I know. And I mean, I think a lot of this also ties back to like my project management skills from when I was doing my R&D job of just like something is going to go wrong. Always, you know, like literally nothing has ever launched like when I thought it would. My customers don't see that from their perspective because I don't promise it until I know that I
have it in your hands.
Yeah, I have done a pre-order before, but then it turned out to be like super stressful because I like didn't have a component and then it was taking a lot longer to get it than I thought. Mm-hmm. And like, I think like I'm like scared out of doing it now. Yeah, right. I think there's probably a little bit of an unhealthy fear. I do think probably in some scenarios, like a pre-order does make sense. I've done it in some small occasions, but usually when I've already taken on some risk and I know that I can like come through like pretty quickly. But the thought, like, for example, like we sold out of Moss Green like a year ago. We have it now, but like a year, you know, maybe a year and a half ago, whatever, around Christmas time, one of these years, we sold out. And I was supposed to get it like in a month or two. Like I had already ordered more of it. It was supposed to have been like on a boat, like coming to us, whatever. But like when the shipment arrived, it wasn't, they thought it was in there, but it wasn't. And then it ended up taking like almost a whole nother year to like get it. I mean, it's just like obstacle after obstacle.
Like a customer service nightmare. Like, do you want it refunded? Do you want a different color? Do you want to wait?
If you'd
like,
promised it.
So I was very thankful I did. Yeah. So in that case, like people really want, like people were begging me, like, can I just pre-order it so I can like make sure I get it? And I'm like, I cannot. And I was so thankful when we realized like we didn't have it, because then it was like, well, no, like I don't know when, like until it is in my hands, until I like lay eyes on it, like I don't want to promise anything.
Well, and that might create some urgency too, just in the business sense. Like, okay, they're going to sell out maybe now that they're here because you've been waiting for them, you've been wanting them. So maybe it makes people act quicker to buy the color that they want when they see it.
Okay, I want to know, like, as you're like, I mean, when you're, I mean, I know you said you have a project management background, but like as you're strategizing and figuring out time and like problem solving, like who are you doing this with? Like, or are you and your husband just like figuring this out? Do you have like a group of people that you're bouncing ideas off of? Do you have like friends that are also in product-based businesses? Like, how are you kind of navigating this? Because I feel like entrepreneurship can be isolating. And I feel like you're also in a very niche space.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. Who am I doing it with? Me and my Excel spreadsheet, I think.
Just making predictions. Because you, like, literally mainly 3 years is not a lot of data and huge asterisks on all those years because it's like post-pandemic world.
Oh my gosh. Post-pandemic world. I mean, yeah, like people, yeah. And like post, like during the pandemic, like lots of online selling and like that's all I know, mm-hmm. right? And then like coming into 2023, it's very different mm-hmm. of like people aren't quite in that like buying mindset or just like online shopping as much, and or they're concerned about like where is the economy going and like, you know, do I want to spend right now? Do I not? So I think I make like the best predictions I can. I think it would feel very different if it was something that was like very season specific mm-hmm. or like would go bad. Like if I over order, like worst case scenario, we just have that color longer than I expected, you know, or like we don't have to order as soon as I thought we would. You know, I've spent a lot of money up front on that leather. And so like that's kind of a bummer for me if we do overbuy, but I don't know. It's tricky. It's mainly me and my Excel spreadsheets. And then like I kind of will bounce ideas off of Sean sometimes, just like, this is what I'm thinking. Does this like make sense? But yeah, I think a lot of it's just like me digging into the numbers, making predictions and just kind of seeing how it goes. I mean, there's like a little more technical yeah. side of that, but not a lot, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of it's just me feeling out how I think it's going to go and doing a lot of calculations on how much leather that means. And it's a lot.
Are you still connected in a mastermind with like Kate from Naptime Kitchen and Lindsay from Creative Colorful, like that group? Because on our, is anyone
Casey,
there?
Is Casey Mama Knows Nutrition in it? Weren't y'all in a mastermind? Mm-hmm. Did we make that up?
Yeah, we kind of had like a, yeah, like mastermind, kind of like
it's a strong word.
Mastermind, like, I mean, it is and isn't. Like, it's not like we're not doing this.
It's just a group text.
I mean, we, yeah, like for sure. Like, we had like monthly meetings and like we did like lots of Marco Polo and supported each other through like a lot of different things. And so like, yes, mastermind, also kind of like group therapy, yeah. like support groups for like yeah. hard moments, right? Yeah, we're not as much like working in like a formal capacity as much anymore. Like we for sure like will Marco Polo with like different things. But I think kind of some of our focuses are just like different enough mm-hmm. where like we're kind of just spending some energy in some different spaces there. And so it was like a really sweet like group to like walk alongside a lot of these things with, and still maintaining those friendships like afterwards has been like really great too, just to kind of continue to cheer each other on, and but just less so in a more formal business capacity. But yeah, I don't have like a lot of product-based business people to like, yeah, like bounce things off of. So yeah, I mean, it definitely can feel like lonely or isolating in that regard sometimes, but it's just kind of the nature of what it is, I guess. It can be hard to like connect. It's also hard to like finding businesses that are in like similar like areas of growth, like not someone that's like just starting out, because like right. I need this to be a two-way street. Like I can't just.
You're not signing up to mentor right. someone.
Yeah.
You need to be moving along the same path.
Yeah. But then like finding someone that's not all, that's also not like, I don't know, just finding like there's like this middle ground that I feel like is hard to find businesses in that space of like yeah. also like I'm not gonna just like crush it 24/7 like hustle culture, like I don't want to do that either. So it can be hard to find other people that are in a space of like I want to do this and I want to do it well, and I also want like my family to do well, and I want to do well like by my employees mm-hmm. like I want them to have lives that are like full and rich outside of this job. So yeah, if you're a product-based business that feel like you're in a similar space with Avery & Co,
DM Kate.
Send her a DM.
Or you yeah, can just, yes. you know, if you want to be in a mastermind with us, you can, Kate. You're welcome to be with us. But
hey,
we are,
you know what?
Digital product.
I've been listening to your podcast. Yes, but I feel like It doesn't even have to be a product-based right. business, I feel like, to connect in a way that can be beneficial for all parties. Like, there's so many commonalities of even just, like, sales tax and how do you pay employees yeah. and, like,
email
how do you,
marketing
oh
and
my
social
gosh.
Media marketing.
Social like, there's
so – we have so many of the same
well, and I think the,
things yeah, working
the kicker
behind the
scenes. Is really almost circling back to what you said in the beginning of how do you decide when enough is enough. And for me – again, I've been so inspired by other masterminds and stuff I've been in, but the people are pushing way harder. They want way bigger yeah. than I want. And I loved being with them. But sometimes I was just feeling like almost like overly inspired and overly pushed. And it was like, mm-hmm. I don't want to be this big. Like I'm kind of good with where we're at. And I want it to be, it was kind of funny because like the year I was in this one mastermind, like my goals for the year were like, try all the things, spend all the money, see what happens. And then literally the year after that, my goal was do what's fun. I think I cut my spending by, I think I said in that episode like 30%, but I still made like 6% more. But the shift was like huge. It was like a 25% change or yeah. something because, which like if Catherine's listening to this, Lauren, she's going to be like throwing up at me, just throwing out casual numbers, not specifically. That's hiring a bookkeeper like changed my life because you know sales tax and stuff, it's literally terrible. And she's so sweet. She I'm like obsessed with our bookkeeper. I don't like to call her a bookkeeper. She's so much more than that. Catherine, if you're listening, I love you. Don't ever leave me. But like,
yeah, she's great.
Truly, I'm like, I just need number help and number, like, I don't like to look at numbers. But anyway, I just yeah, I think knowing that when it's enough is really huge. All right. I know Lauren, you wanted to ask her about social media. That's your
oh yeah because you mentioned that in the beginning that was something that really helped you take off was like getting a mention on social media. Has that continued to be like boost for you? I mean, of like it just feels like a natural. All the people that shared are probably like, yes, of course, I would love to share this. But has that been how you have found success outside of Etsy? And how do you like continue to like ride that? I don't know.
I think for sure. I mean, I think it was. I think things are changing. And so in 2020 and 2021, it was definitely easier to just kind of like, just like present what I had to offer of like, look, if this is great, if you think it's great, then awesome. And if not, then like, that's cool too. But just like, here is this like unique solution that I'm providing. I think it could change your life. I think it's harder to like get attention now if of just like, trying to get those like organic shout outs that I feel like I was able to get more of in 2020 and 2021. I mean, I think part of that, I don't know. I mean,
like now you need more of like a relationship with the person like before you're asking.
I mean, I feel like I wanted that from the beginning anyway. Like even with those, like I usually tried to have like at least some relationship. Like I was really reaching out to people that like I really enjoyed like their content and like really just enjoy kind of like, who they were as a person, like what they were doing in the social space. Yeah. And I think that's still true. Like I enjoy having a relationship, even if it's going to be like a paid ad or something. Like I like liking the people that are going to share about us, if that makes sense.
Because they're kind of representing your brand too. Like you want that to be an arm or an extension of you too.
Yeah. And I mean, there is like, I probably feel more tied to those advertising dollars than like, you know, a big company would because it's like actually me writing that check, you know, it's a big stake. But yeah, I think it is like kind of harder to get the organic shout outs from like bigger accounts and for whatever reason, I don't know. And like, it's something that I'm willing to pay for, but it is one of those things where it's like, I don't want to be like the only person taking on risk in that situation where it's like,
right.
maybe I pay you, you know, X dollars for this. Like, I'm like just now dipping my toe into this, but it feels scary to be like, I'm going to pay you this much money, whether or not you bring in sales. Mm-hmm. And so there's like a lot of scariness around that.
And using affiliates.
Kind of trying to figure out, but that it feels like the only option right now or like the option that I feel like I have the most control over. Like you don't have control over when the organic shout outs happen. Mm-hmm. And so they're great, but sometimes it can almost be overwhelming if you weren't ready for it. So I don't know. I mean,
it's something you're still navigating.
For sure. And it's like constantly reevaluating and like figuring out. And yeah, because I think there's something to be said for like, I want, like if there's a creator that's going to like do well by us and like bring in a lot of business and new eyes, like I do want them to be compensated for the effort that they've put into building their platform. And so I don't know, like trying to navigate, like, what does that look like? How does everybody come out a winner? That's really what I want. Like, obviously I want it to work well for us, but I want it to work well for them too. And I don't want to be left like holding a bag though and have it only work well for them. So I don't know. It's complicated.
As of right now, are you doing all of your marketing and stuff? Is that something you'd like to hire out? Like, what's one thing this time next year, maybe would be a better question, that you would be like hope that you're not going to be doing anymore in your business that you're currently doing?
Well, I mean, like Curtis Holler, because I don't want to do Facebook ads.
Do you do any right now?
I mean, like, not really. I've kind of dipped my like pinky toe into the water. It is so overwhelming. It is so overwhelming. Let me tell you,
he logged in on Sunday and set up ads for two different businesses, and not me or Rebecca, and the inside of the Facebook stuff looked different on both of their accounts. He's like, what the? This is nuts.
It's worth it to pay someone to keep up with how much they change the interface.
Here's the thing. I need to holler if you are in this field or Curtis and know how to do it well. I do not want to figure it out. Mm-hmm. That would be a full-time job. I do not want to do it. But I also don't want to pay a marketing firm a $5,000 retainer plus all the money I would have to put into the ads. I know.
She did it, and it didn't work.
I know. So I need this like middle ground of like a freelancer or someone that has like expertise in this area that like, again, like I'm not trying to like get things for free. I want to pay you for your time and effort, but like I've got to find a better option than like several $1,000 retainer on top of
ads. You've got your solution. Adsbycurtis.com, literally. That's where you're going to go.
I mean, surely you're going to, like, maybe you're not going to hire Curtis into your job, but he's going to create this whole job just for him.
He is.
I'm here for it. But yeah, I think like I need to like figure out paid advertising in a better way that like I don't have to learn how to be an expert. Like I'm good with taking on a lot of things, like figuring things out, but like that's just one that I just don't feel like is worth me becoming an expert.
Well, and I would say too, if you're listening to this and you're looking to start your own small business, I think there is a unique hole in the marketing world of these huge marketing agencies, but then they're small business owners. And it's like, yeah, we want some marketing strategy, but we also need like a marketing person that's like actually doing it. Like Curtis is like, he's not just telling you how you should do Facebook ads. He's literally doing the ads for you on a smaller scale. Cause like you said, it's so hard as a small business to like, I need marketing help, but I don't, I've done that where I literally paid the $5,000 and it was like such a big expense. And at least the nice thing with Facebook ads is you can literally see the numbers to be like, this didn't make sense. So like it was no harm, no foul when I like let go of the company or the agency. Cause I was like, you can literally do the math. You can see that I lost money using you. Goodbye. Yeah. But I think it's hard. I don't do any marketing. Lauren does it all for me.
Well, and historically, I haven't really either. And so like this is like new territory for me. But I do think like the economy is changing. Like people's buying habits are changing. And so I have to do something than just like sit here and like
and keep have a great
doing
product.
The same things I've been doing. Like I think if I get it in front of people, the product speaks for itself. Right. So it's more of just like, how do I get this in front of more people? Because, you know, I'm not trying to like sell for the sake of selling. Like, I don't have time for that. Like, I am selling because I think it will actually make your life easier. Like, I will think it is going to bring improvement to your life. But you have to know that we exist first.
Right.
And
right.
So, I don't know, just need to get it out there more. But that's like the age old question
off of your plate.
Yeah.
Kate, how do you handle when other people are pushing all of their new ideas on you? People say it all the time. Like, why don't you have a loop for the back of your phone? Why don't you have a, and maybe you can tell us what some of those things are that people are demanding, but like you're staying in your lane. You have a wristlet, a wallet, a key tag, and now those other little metal holder things. I don't know what you call them, right?
Yeah. I mean, really just accessories to go on like the core product. Yeah.
So what else are people asking for and how do you balance or decide what you're going
to
do?
I would love to know the most outrageous thing someone's asked for. You're like, I'm not doing that.
Oh, I don't know about outrageous. I mean, people ask for things like lanyards, like neck lanyards, AirPod cases, passport holders, something slightly bigger, like a clutch that would like hold a phone. Like that's a big, that's probably like what I get asked the most of. Like, do you plan to make something bigger? And I think for me, like, it's just important. Like, could we offer other things? Maybe, but it's important to me to like do what I'm doing well. Like, I'm really content offering like what we make, our wristlet and our wallet and like our like accessories, just because I feel like I feel like it's like a, I'm proud of like the design that we have for our wallet and wristlet, and it's like unique solution. Like it was the solution that I wanted and couldn't find and has resonated with other women because it was something they wanted and couldn't find. And I don't think I feel the same way about like a passport holder or a clutch of just like, I don't have a unique or like different take to bring to the table that I feel really excited about. And other people are doing those things really well. Now, you know, people will say, even my husband will say like, well, but people like your brand and would buy whatever you offer, right? But I don't want to expand just for the sake of expanding. There's always this like pressure of like, what's next? Like what's going to be like the next product or whatever. But I'm really happy with what we offer. And when your potential audience is like literally any woman, like I feel like we have a lot of opportunity for growth, even with just the limited offering that we have. So
that's why.
That's not to say we won't ever add anything else, but it would have to be something that I felt like really excited about and like had the capacity to do really well.
I love that. Okay. I think last question would be just any advice you may have for anyone listening who's a mom and they're trying to balance all that goes into being a mom and a business owner, because we think it's the two hardest jobs in the world. So we're always looking for how are other people doing it?
I think for my answer to that is going to be like not just mom specific. I think for a small business to be able to like do well in balance with anything else that you're doing, you've got to get like work yourself almost out of a job to like, and not that you're going to not do it anymore, but like have it be so that if you're not there, like you want to go on vacation or your kids are sick or you just don't want to do anything that day, like things can keep running. And that's maybe that's more like product-based business. I don't know. I think it could be anything though, where it's like someone can answer.
I think it could be anything too.
Customer service.
Yeah. You posted about that on your trip that you just went on, that was like almost like a dream that you never thought could come true, that you could step away and that it could still run the exact same without you. I think that is something that most small business owners would hope that it could happen.
Yeah. So I think just like bringing on people that you like really trust and that can like do just as good of a job as what you're doing on like certain things that like have to keep running. If you want to be able to step away, I feel like that helps. And that also just helps with like in the motherhood throes of like kids being sick. Like if my kids are sick and I can't go into the studio because I'm watching them or whatever, like Brittany can still ship things and Brittany will answer customer service. And so having that help, you know, has definitely allowed it to have like the balance, like has brought the ability to have the balance that I want to have. But, and I, that's hard probably to hear like as like a very new business. Like you have to remember like this is 3 years in that I'm saying this, but like year one, like I didn't have anyone else. Like when we went to the beach for a week, like in our first year, I think I had to put like a little vacation thing on our Etsy thing that was like orders will not ship until blah, blah, blah. And then like, I still had to like answer some like messages on Etsy, you know, like I couldn't fully walk away. So I don't know. I think like being like having solid people that can help you in the day to day.
That's a good answer. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for being here and sharing all of your behind the scenes. We will link your information in the show notes, but tell people who are listening where they can follow along and where they can buy a wristlet if we've just sold it to them during this episode.
Yeah. So we show our behind the scenes on our Instagram. It's just at Avrynco, AVRYNCO. And our website is avrynco.com. That's where you can shop all the things.
And we're going to link in the show notes. I want to link, like, Lauren, I want you to link your favorite, like, what you wear. And I'm going to link that cornflower blue, girl. We're going to spell some cornflower blue from this episode.
It's funny to me that I, like, picked that color as, like, what I wanted to say, because that probably is, like, one of our more limited, like, not that we're going to sell out, like, immediately, but it, like, it will sell out probably sometime this summer. So...
And I got mine before I had my colors done by Created Colorful. So not that I'm holding my wristlet to my face and it has to be in my color palette, but I love my color palette. So I want something in that. Mine's like not my color palette at all. Cool. So I might need to do one.
Well, it's nice when it coordinates with the clothes that you're wearing in your color palette.
I was so tickled when you came out with summer colors, like with the cornflower blue. And I think there was like a nice lilac. And I was like, oh, yeah.
I think there's a navy. Yes,
I love
the funny thing to me. I realized like all the colors that I had been drawn to or like that I like we started out with for the most part were like when I was like going through them with Lindsay, she's like, okay, like soft autumn or like or just like autumn, like that's an autumn, that's an autumn, like autumn could do that. I'm like, okay, like I really have nothing for like some of these other people.
So you hooked us up.
I had to expand a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Brought some in.
Well, thanks so much. You. Thanks for listening.
This was fun, y'all. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Bestie Business Banter Podcast.
If you like what you hear, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review.
If you have thoughts on the show or the segments you heard today, send us a DM over on the Momfluencer Instagram.
See you next time, Business Bestie.